This episode is sponsored by Arius. With nearly 100 locations and operating more than 75 local, national, and proprietary brands, Arius is bringing their signature dining experience to major North American airports such as Los Angeles, Detroit, Atlanta, Miami, Chicago, and now their newest locations in Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. For more information on how to bring their signature experience to your airport and to your travelers, visit ariususa.com. Welcome to episode 9 of the Airport Experience News podcast. My name is Ramon Lowe, and I'm the publisher of Airport Experience News. As always, thank you for listening. And if you have not already, please make sure to subscribe so that you get access to our growing library of interviews, as well as the latest episodes as we release them. You can find us on the following podcast platforms: iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher. So in this episode, I chat with Peter Amaro, the CEO and co-founder of Miami-based Master Concessionaire. I actually can't believe that he's only less than an hour away, and I didn't even do this in person because as we recorded this episode, the weather outside was just truly unbelievable. I mean, we actually talk about next time doing this out by the beach or something. But believe it or not, this is work. It really is. And Peter is a great guy. In this episode, he talks about his entry into airports and his rather successful growth. Additionally, he talks about paying it forward, recognizing that he has a lot to give in terms of mentoring, much in the same way he learned and was mentored when he stepped into the industry. Anyway, here is my conversation with Peter Amaro. So I'm here with Peter Amaro, the CEO and co-founder of Master Concessionaire. Peter, thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you, Ramon. Thank you for having me.
So all month long, I've been having conversations with small businesses in the airport industry because if you didn't know, November is Small Business Month. So when I was thinking of who else to interview, I started thinking of the many commonalities that small airport businesses share. But some histories, viewpoints, challenges, successes, et cetera, they're all varied. And so that kind of guided me to decide who I wanted to speak with. And knowing you for a while now, pretty familiar with your story, I figured this is a great time to kind of have you on and kind of share your side of things. So my first question is, can you just briefly share your story and background, what brought you into airports? Like a couple companies I've spoken to, you came from the street side. Just talk about the transition into the space and maybe also some of the differences between the street and the airport that you just realized when you started operating.
Well, I actually had an advantage in that we operated street side. My family's been in the restaurant business and institutional food service business for over 50 years now. And, coming out of college and wanting to, grow in the business because that's what I knew and that's what I had done most of my life, and I actually enjoyed it. I tried to diversify. And, one of the opportunities that came up through a small business program was the opportunity of joining a concessions team in our airport here in Miami International Airport, which is where our base is. So throughout that process, we actually wanted to bring one of our own restaurants. Coincidentally, back in the late 90s, we wanted to, bring a local sense of place because we thought people traveling would want to have our ethnic food, which is Cuban. And I actually met in the process, I met someone else, which is my co-founding partner, is Jose Alberni. And he was a Burger King franchisee. So together, coincidentally, Host Marriott, which is our mentor, signed us on as an ACDBE component of an opportunity that came out for a majority of space in Miami International Airport. Well, back then it was a majority of space. Obviously the airport has grown a lot since. So thanks to that program and thanks to, host kind of holding our hands and mentoring us, we actually did not go directly into the restaurants that we were trying to accomplish, but we came in a joint venture, which was, hindsight 2020, which was a great advantage because you kind of got the lay of the land from one of the largest, if not the largest, prime concessionaires in the world. You can side by side with them, understanding, where the pitfalls are, at least getting a good grasp of where those, obstacles were, where the difficulties and logistics were, was a great step for us. Eventually, after that process, there was another RFP, and in that RFP, after having some traction in the airport and understanding the operations, we actually subleased space and Host actually gave us, you know, their portfolio and allowed us to, you know, pick from their brands, which was another huge advantage in partnering in that program. And we got certified by some of those national brands and eventually were able to open those in the airport, the first being Chili's. That kind of was our foundation and our entry into the airport. And the program, for us, worked magnificently. It worked perfectly as it should, you know, mentoring us into the airport.
So were there moments where you realized, wow, this is, it's obviously operationally far different of an animal, probably more complicated than the ones that you were familiar with in the street, correct?
Oh, immensely. I would say there's a combination of things, and you can prioritize them. You know, people would prioritize them differently. For myself, it would be just the more consolidated view of a kitchen and a space. Space in the airport obviously is very expensive. You know, upwards of, you know, $100 a square foot in rent base, you know, and from there on up. But the development of them can typically reach, in the food and beverage industry, can typically reach somewhere around $750 to $1,200 a square foot, which is, you know, shocking. And, you know, we had our own estimates and we thought we could do it, you know, less expensive. But I would have to say that it's an impact, you know, where you obviously have to take into hand that you're going to be able to do the revenues in order to pay and amortize that capital. But that was a great help, obviously, being side by side with Host, but still a shocker. You know, still it's you know, when you have to write that check after you've been on the street and, you know, you can do something for, you know, $100 a square foot and it's primo, to come into the airport and see something 10 times that cost, it's a shocker. And the other element, of course, is the logistics of your deliveries, the consolidated storage space, refrigeration. So, you know, you're turning over product, which is a great help, but you still have to be very, very efficient in your ordering, in your storage, in your prep, the timing of your operations, you know, getting your staff in and out. So there's a lot of a learning curve. There's a lot of logistics involved there in the learning curve. Once you get it, you know, it's not that tough, but in the get-go, in the beginnings, it's quite difficult. And if you develop multiple units, mm-hmm. You're obviously always looking at, you know, the employment, the passenger, the traffic, since the investments are so large. And nowadays, we even know how large those rents can be as well.
I guess you can say that you're probably still learning along the way, right? I know you were mentored by Host, and it was great. But then even when you went off on your own, every airport's different. So you're probably still trying to get the lay of the land, even when you went to Orlando or Atlanta or wherever else, correct?
Oh yes. You must remain creative in this industry, and you will always be learning. There's always a learning curve, no matter where you are. Some have, you know, challenges because of the age of the buildings. Some have challenges because they don't have, you know, gas for food and beverage, in a matter of speaking. Some don't have storage. Some have very high costs for office space. So you have got to find locations off premise, maybe commissaries off premise, or get creative and build where, some cases we've actually built a commissary in the storage area and had that, you know, certified. Some cases we just use a dumbwaiter to bring product from below upstairs. And in this industry, you know, every time you walk into an airport, it's actually the part that I enjoy. It's a challenge. It's almost like a puzzle when you walk into an airport and you assess the lease outlines and you understand what their expectations are, because all the airports have a different expectations. They're all, you know, different governing bodies. And I guess the people that are ahead of the process all have, you know, their own visions. And, you know, everybody's obviously trying to make the traveler's experience as seamless as possible. But some may have a challenge in their checkpoints. Some may have a challenge as to how they bottleneck. And, you know, you're trying to decipher whether you want to be post-bottleneck or in the bottleneck, because everybody's, you know, going to be looking for something to do while they're there. It's fun. It's actually a ton of fun, because knowing that we're in a non-traditional world, and the airport is a, you know, non-traditional world, you're looking for something outside, and you're looking for a box, a rectangle, or, you know, the shape that fits your prototype. There is no prototype in the airport. Every time that you go out, even if it's a national brand, and now we're looking at more localized brands or customized brands, every space is different, and you've got to be able to understand what that critical path is for the traveler, what those sight lines are, where you can locate that grab and go, where you want to have, you know, the passengers enter your space and, you know, envision an inviting open space. The market is getting much more creative, which, you know, obviously is you know, driving for a much greater experience in the airport setting. But you're constantly learning the ethnicities, you're constantly learning the cuisines, you're constantly learning what the shoppers are looking for in the retail sector. Obviously, we know the impact of Amazon, you know, evolve that always, constantly, and technology is a huge player as well. So there's always a lot to learn, and I don't think I'll ever be able to say I graduated or I understand, you know, everything. But there's always a challenge out there.
No, definitely. And I want to get to something you just mentioned. You know, the market's always getting creative, and I hear this a lot. And you said it earlier, but I'll get to it again. I'm sure your street side experience then helped you a lot, because, again, it looks like we're, for some time now, at least since I got into the space 13 years ago, that the airports are basically blurring the lines between what you can get on the street and in the terminal. So I guess for someone like you who has had experience operating the street, you have that street side mentality, and you're taking it, that approach into airports, adhering to the airport playbook, correct?
Yes, correct. That experience, and they refer to it sometimes as local sense of place, that experience is obviously, some of the smaller businesses have an advantage because they're on the street side in their local airport. So, you know, that versus a prime who's coming in from, you know, a national perspective, we have a more localized expertise. And that advantage, you know, carries over into the airport with, you know, vendor suppliers, knowledge of the cuisine, knowledge of the local chefs, you know, what locations are, you know, trending. And that's what you want to bring into the airport. So, yes, there is an advantage. And I think all the small businesses that are looking to penetrate the airport market, as an ACDBE or other joint venture partner or other bringing their own brands, they have an advantage. They have that sex appeal, if you would. They're bringing all of that knowledge base to someone who's coming in from, you know, sometimes as far as outside the country to try and understand that market. So their contribution is very valuable. And it's very valuable. And that flavor, you know, is sometimes very dependent on, you know, that knowledge base. So they're looking for your shared partnership.
So you mentioned the advantages of the small business, and you spoke about, you know, having that local street side experience, or at least more so the local experience and knowing the lay of the land outside of the terminal. But, you know, what are other advantages to being a small business? Because all we hear are the disadvantages in terms of or obstacles. Goals in terms of access to capital and opportunity, but there has to be some advantages to being a small business. I think being agile and nimble is usually one of them.
Absolutely. I was just thinking that ability to make, you know, decisions on the spot. The processes, for example, the product lines, your menu design, you know, sourcing. There's a lot of, you know, processes and red tape. There's, you know, in the larger companies, they have, you know, their buyers, and they have to get approvals, and then, you know, it's got to meet certain criteria. And for us, it's, you know, much easier. We're much more nimble. We're also much more, you know, nimble in the way we, you know, partner and make our decisions. You know, there's obviously a much more relaxed approach when you're sitting with your team, at the board level, partnership level, or other, and making those decisions, you know, it's, the criteria is not as strong. And just the financial side criteria is what I'm referencing. But, you know, we give a lot of empowerment. And, you know, the smaller business tends to have people that, you know, either have relationships with the proprietors, or they've had experience on their own, and you allow them some freedom to, you know, try new menu items, you know, introduce a new local lotion, or, you know, organic, as you know, I'm kind of rattling off some of the ones that we've tried, organic honey-based soap and suntan lotion. Yeah, there's a lot of them out there, you know, there's a lot of great products out there, and some of them have really succeeded. You know, we had someone that actually came to us and had customized sunglasses that were made out of wood, and they were phenomenal, and they sold extremely well. And there's, you know, local vendors, artists, you know, products that you buy and you introduce this in your, into your menu. You know, if there's a new trend that you pick up, being in Miami, obviously there's a lot of trends, there's a lot of chefs, there's a lot of restaurants opening, you're able to see that, and you're able to, you know, implement that very quickly. And you're also, you're on the ground. So, as a proprietor, you're on the ground, and you're obviously in tune with the operations in the airport, and, are able to, you know, make those decisions and or corrections and or improvements, or even react to, you know, a customer issue or a customer comment or other. You know, they get that personalized phone call, and you let them know, you know, I'm the operator, I'm the owner, I'm the proprietor of the business, and there, you know, that yields a pretty fantastic result at the end. And you invite them out and tell them that you'll be here. You'll be here if they want to meet you and shake hands next time they travel through.
So I'm going to skip to one of my other questions, because I think it kind of makes sense now. Just looking at the landscape of the market or the industry, do you think companies can now come in, or has the barrier to entry gotten so high that it's almost too impossible? Like basically, if could you now, not having the experience that you've, you know, gained over the years, decide, you know what, I'd like to diversify and get into space because the complexity of airports has gotten to be so complex?
Yeah, it's definitely a much more challenging market. Looking at it from a smaller business, there's, you know, all these acquisitions, all these, you know, market share plays. Yeah, it's much more competitive, but I still believe in the ACDBE program. I still believe that the airports are making these considerations for small businesses, and I see it, and I travel throughout. I just, you know, mentioned to you, I flew in from Denver. I was evaluating that airport, and they also are looking at, you know, maintaining a level or a goal for, you know, localized businesses, localized small businesses. So I think the market is still attractive for the ACDB and the local small business. The opportunities aren't as common or as large as they were in the past. A little bit more specialized, I would say, when they look for local sense of place or a local business, they're looking for someone that is an experienced operator. And there is some joint venture partnerships out there. There's, you know, a market for localized gifts, you know, on the retail side, a customized approach. You know, obviously in Florida, it would be something, you know, that's associated with the beaches and the ocean, and, you know, you travel to Denver, and maybe it's something more, you know, Midwest and whatnot. But on the food side, I think it's actually a massive market on the food side when they're looking for that customized brand. A lot of these airports are explicitly looking for local restaurant brands. So if you've operated a local restaurant and it's been a success, or if you've got a startup that's been a success, or if you've got, you know, chef's talent and you've created brands or created menus, there's a market out there right now. Even if you're an operator of a national brand on the street side, or you've operated in your perspective, you've operated, you know, a small retail shop. You know, there's opportunities for you to fulfill that local sense of place. So where one door closes, I feel another door opens, and those partners are you know, all over. They're all over the nation. I've experienced that, and obviously in your industry meetings, I've experienced it in other industry meetings where, I mean, there's a lot of us out there. There's a lot of us out there, and there's a lot of opportunity for them as well.
So my next question is a great segue into it. All small businesses want to expand, and you obviously have done a pretty good job of that. You've had great partnerships, you've gone in on your own, et cetera. Not asking you to really reveal your secret sauce, but can you give a bit of insight into what other companies can do? Because, bidding alone can be difficult, and there are challenges to it, correct?
Oh yes. It can be difficult, and it can be very expensive, as I've learned throughout the years.
That's like
it can take a toll on the pocketbook. I would have to say that there's probably a foundation for success, and it has to start with operations. So. And that's one of the things that we pride ourselves with. Our mission statement is serving the world one guest at a time. And, that's the airport. You're serving the world, but you've got to look at it as you've got one guest in front of you. That's the most important person to you right now. And the operations leads to your successes being, either published, spoken about, or now with, all of the social media, digitally just put out there for the masses to see. So, yes, it's probably the foundation for your growth and to have that reputation, along with obviously the right brands. But even more substantially than that is you've got to be capitalized, and you've got to be ready for some ups and downs. And there's many ways to do that, taking on a financial partner or, getting some shareholders, investors, there's a lot of different versions out there of how to do that. But I would have to say that it begins with operations and your reputation, and that will definitely echo through the industry and create a path for you, at least open up some doors where your successes will be invited to other airports.
So my last question for you, Peter, is probably one that you think of constantly, the future for Master Concessionaire. Tell me a little bit about what you see in the future for the company. What are you excited for? I know one of the things that I think that you've gotten really creative with is obviously your units in Orlando with the Cask and Larder there. I mean, that's gotten a lot of, a lot of attention. So what is the next thing that you're excited for? Is it more Cask and Larder type creativity? Is it new initiatives, things like that?
I would have to say that we become creative, I think, in the partnerships that we're looking for. And at the same time, it's almost a way of giving back by mentoring other ACDBEs. But I've kind of found a good home, and besides obviously bidding on our own, eventually as all ACDBEs, the idea is to grow large enough where you're able to, stand on your own two feet. And if they say graduate from the program, I'm sure that MCA will eventually graduate from the program. But I would have to lean towards saying, it's a combination. Our business plan probably is a combination of things. And as we stated, all airports are different and their expectations are different. But being able to partner, and in the case of Cask and Larder in Orlando, we were able to partner with a local restaurateur and a James Beard nominee, CIA Culinary Institute of America graduates, both, husband and wife, and they were just phenomenal people. And they saw the vision, we saw their vision, we shared what, the opportunity would be there. So it was a really nice mix of brainstorming and translating a brand, and that fits almost all markets. So as a small business, one of the other items that we obviously would like to be able to produce is be able to replicate that in other markets, is to meet, local small businesses. For us, it's very rewarding, and introduce them and kind of hold their hand through the process. These are we joint venture with them, or we, you know, license their brand or franchise in some cases. But that would probably be our focus moving forward. You know, there are opportunities that are you know, more well-rounded, where we feel that, you know, we can compete, such as, you know, Orlando's Captain Lager. But as you see the rest of the market, you know, they're looking for multi-unit operators, which we could do as well. And we'll go after that opportunity as well. And, you know, mentor, in our case, we will mentor ACDBEs. And, you know, we've learned a lot in the last, you know, 20 years, 20 plus years. And we will hope to be able to pass that along to them to make them successful as well.
So I lied. I do have one follow-up question that, you know, you mentioned it several times in terms of mentoring ACDBs, and that's great. You're kind of paying it forward on many things. But really, as competitive as this market has gotten, do you still see a lot of that mentoring, you know, not just from you, but maybe from others too, if not just from ACDBs to ACDBs, but maybe from the primes on downward, like it was when you started with Host?
I would say that the market has evolved. When I began, it was more of a joint venture. Early on in the 90s, they really didn't have an understanding of what the local small businesses could do. And the more polished businesses kind of wanted to shy away, because they had a successful operation outside of the airport, kind of shied away from any opportunity. They knew the investments were large, and obviously they would put their hands at the mercy of the operator, the joint venture partner. But I think eventually that evolved, and all of us got a better understanding and reviewed and analyzed the successes that were out there in other airports, where actual operators came in. And here we have, you know, multiple successes. And I think as time evolved, that understanding that they were capable played into possible subleases and possible small business packages. And, you know, that's something that I'm seeing, and I would, you know, like to, you know, ask airports to continue to promote giving, you know, opportunities specifically set for small businesses, but that just, you know, it will replicate itself, you know, throughout the years, for people to say, oh, if, you know, Tom was able to, or Paul was able to go into the airport, I can do it as well. And, you know, inspire other people to do that. In the market, I would probably say that I am going to continue down that process. It's still viable. It's still plentiful. It's probably not as much as in years past, but the local sense of place, that definition, that diamond that's been found, I'll call it that, because now it's kind of spreading through all the airports, understanding that, you know, when in Rome, or people want that experience, and some people are just simply, you know, connecting, and if they're there and they have some time, why not, you know, capture the flavor, either shopping or dining, and the airports want to identify themselves with their community and their, you know, their tourism driver, or, you know, the destinations that they are. I think that it's going to be a viable business still for years to come, and we're going to continue to nourish that.
Well, Peter, that's all I have. I appreciate, you know, you taking the time to speak with me. I know you got a hectic schedule. I think if we do this again next time I'm coming down there, we're going to go to like Cafe Versailles or something, really have a cool background to doing this, make it a little fun, you know?
I think that's a great idea, and come on down. As a matter of fact, we can go and, you know, do a little tour of a new area here that's got a ton of new restaurants, pop-ups. It'll be fun, and you'll get a good flavor of, you know, where we're heading, at least here in this South Florida market. Then we can always pass by and maybe see the beach and capture some fun.
definitely. Well, Peter, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.